Good day, everyone. It's Kieran Russell here once again, joined by Phil Shaw, our Chief Economist, and Chris Brand from our FX Trading Desk. I hope you're all keeping well and safe and have now had a chance to enjoy catching up face to face with friends and loved ones outside of your social bubbles. Before we begin, I'd like to take a moment to congratulate the wider team here at Investec. In case you missed the news, this week at the Business Money Facts Awards, Investec won Best FX Provider and placed second in the innovation category. So a fantastic achievement for the team. As for the currency markets and sterling in particular, it's been a pretty confusing time of late. Whilst we have been trading in ranges, there have been some pretty sharp moves in sterling crosses for no obvious reasons. Quarter end flows, particularly around the fixings, played a part, certainly at the end of March. And then there was a week of repositioning after Easter, which saw sterling lose ground. And that was mostly on account of the Scottish independence referendum concerns being priced in, Northern Ireland troubles, of course, and perhaps a feeling that the benefit received from the UK's vaccine rollout program had peaked. In terms of the corporate hedging landscape, the range-bound market for sterling dollar and sterling euro has unsurprisingly changed the hedging landscape quite dramatically in recent weeks, with implied volatility in sterling dollar and sterling euro having dropped considerably. Now, this drop in volatility has led to lower premiums for corporates that prefer to hedge with maximum flexibility through the purchase of vanilla options. So there has been a raft of interest from dollar sellers in particular, taking advantage of both the low volatility and attractive spot rates too. Then, of course, there is the COVID situation to consider. Perhaps it can best be described in the form of the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good being our vaccine rollout program, which continues to power on. The bad has to do with concerns regarding blood clots around the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson vaccines. And the ugly being the daily global case numbers, which, in case you missed it earlier this week, reached 800,000 in a day, which is a record number this year. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in Phil here to get his thoughts on the UK economy and the growth outlook in particular. Phil, with the COVID vaccine rollout program going so well in the UK and the economy opening up, is the future bright for the UK?
Hi, Kieran. Morning, everybody. Yes, we are of the view that the stars are aligning for a really decent period of growth in the UK economy. Certainly, the vaccine background helps. We had GDP figures for February specifically earlier this week, and they showed monthly growth of plus 0.4%, which was a little bit below expectations. But again, the Office for National Statistics revised back UK's economic history, which they have tended to do fairly frequently over the last few months. So that makes a mechanical difference to the growth outlook for this year. In addition to that, surveys and the FAST indicators which we look at have been positive over the past few weeks. As has been fairly well documented in the press as well, households have got a lot of excess deposits in aggregate in their Bank and Building Society accounts, and we calculate that to be around £120 billion. That's the equivalent of about 10% of annual household consumption. And so, putting all that together, our GDP forecast is 7.3% for 2021. And actually, it's pretty easy to see it getting over 8% over this year. Now, that might sound ridiculous, and it is above consensus, but one has to bear in mind that the economy shrank by close to 10% over 2020. But even so, that's a pretty fast bounce back. As I said, there are a number of indications that we are going to see that. And you know, with the vaccinations going well, with the case numbers at least in the UK staying at relatively low levels, it looks as though the government's timetable for easing social restrictions is on track, and that helps the growth outlook, of course.
Great. Now, I also wanted to just bring in Chris on more on the currency side. Chris, focusing on sterling dollar for a second, the pound regained some of that lost ground from the repositioning earlier this week, amidst some renewed dollar selling there, before once again finding itself on the back foot this morning. Can you add some color to the recent moves, certainly with regards to the pound and the dollar?
Yeah, I think what we saw at the start of the week was a little bit of a buying on dips. So we have some support levels around a 136.70, 137 level. And we've seen that being quite a decent support level over the really the last month. And as we headed towards those levels, you saw some dip buying. But we've gone towards the 138 kind of level the latter end of the week. And yesterday, really, we had the US retail sales come out, which is a very strong number. And we've seen some dollar strength since then. But it's you would maybe expect a little bit more strength from the dollar from those numbers. But the thing to bear in mind is that the stimulus checks that have been sent out in the US are actually taking effect. And so I guess some of this kind of bumper retail sales are somewhat priced in. But it's a bit tricky at the moment because we do feel like we're trading somewhat sideways at the moment. But we've still got this support of 136.70, which has been, over a triple low. But we're also seeing a slight downward sloping trend if we go back from February. So it does feel like maybe we could get a breakout soon. But really, a little bit sideways trading overall for the week. One thing I did find interesting this week was the Bank of England, Haldane, stepping down in June and what this might mean for the future for the Bank of England. Haldane was a known hawk, and losing him from the MPC could be interesting, and we might see a bit more of a dovish tone coming from the Bank of England in the future. But no, in sterling dollar terms, we kind of have been trading somewhat sideways this week. I think for us, the real interesting part will be next week when we got a lot more UK data. So we have the UK employment data, we have CPI data, we have retail sales all out of the UK, and we also have an ECB rate decision chucked in as well. So I think for us, the more interesting part is going to be next week when we're going to see some real interesting data points for us to focus on.
No, great. It certainly has been a quietish week in terms of data this week. And we've been largely focusing on what comments have come from the Fed and so forth. Just one more for you, Phil, with regards, the Scottish IndyRef concerns and the Northern Ireland troubles. Is the market for the right to be pricing in some nervousness there? Because clearly, we are in a situation where many would feel the pound should be kicking on as the economy opens up, and we should see rates at probably higher against the dollar and sterling euro. Yet this morning we saw sterling euro dip into the 114s again, and those lofty heights of 142 and above, which we saw in cable, certainly we're nowhere near those levels at the minute. So just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, we're certainly of the view, specifically on the Scottish situation, that markets should be paying attention to it. We've got less than 3 weeks now until the Holyrood elections on the 6th of May. We had the SNP launching its manifesto yesterday, and that should be a poignant reminder that actually a second independence referendum is a real possibility. There was an article in one of the papers, I think this morning, suggesting the SNP were heading for a landslide. I'm not sure that's the case, certainly not the polls that I look at. And the Scottish system is very, very complex and has been made more so by Alex Salmond's new party, ALBA. But the reading, I think, of most political analysts is that the polls at the minute are suggesting that the SNP are close to an overall majority. And again, that is something I would watch, because if there are moves towards a second referendum, then that could hit sterling. On Northern Ireland, the situation there looks pretty awful, frankly. And, one hopes that both the UK and the EU can come to some sort of arrangement, which means that there aren't quite as many, in practice, checks between goods flowing between Northern Ireland and mainland Great Britain. And that's really been the source of the unrest which we've seen there. We had Lord Frost speaking to his EU counterpart, Shefcovic, yesterday. We hope that what was said there was constructive and that both sides can come to a solution, because what's going on at the moment in Belfast and other areas is really quite nasty.
Yeah, so it certainly, from where I sit, it's obvious that the Parliament just doesn't want to kick on, because those concerns are clearly relevant and want to keep an eye out for. But then on the technical side, Chris, I mean, is there, in a market that has relatively been range bound and despite not seeing these random quick moves that we sometimes happen intraday, are there some technicals as well to be kind of watchful of, certainly in sterling euro as well?
Yeah, I mean, in sterling dollar, that support at 136.70 we mentioned earlier does seem to be quite a key support level. And on the top side, we're looking really above 138.50, I would say, top side resistance. But in sterling euro, one thing we do see is the 100-day moving average comes in at 113.69. So that would be my major support for sterling euro on a downside at the moment.
Great. Well, listen, guys, I think if there's anything else you wanted to add, now's the time. Otherwise, I think I'm going to wrap this up. Anything from your side, Phil?
Just to say, continue listening to the Fed. Watch the US data. Obviously, the retail sales numbers were very strong. They were helped by the huge stimulus checks, which were much bigger than the ones in January. But you know, what we're looking for is some shift of ground from senior Fed members. At the moment, they're not contemplating any change in policy at all. They're expecting a temporary rise in inflation this year. Now, it may come to a point where the Fed says, okay, the economy is more on its own two feet, or a bit more concerned about price pressures. That doesn't look as if it's going to happen anytime soon, but if it were to, then that completely changes the monetary policy picture and, of course, therefore, the situation regarding foreign exchange rates.
Great, thanks, Phil.
And I'll just add, actually, on the euro sterling or sterling euro, I've generally favoured buying the dips in sterling euro over the last few weeks, mainly on the vaccination play, the fact that the UK was quite far ahead of Europe. I still favour that at the moment, but I think there is diminishing risk reward in that play. I see Europe catching up in terms of their vaccination programme, and I think the good news has been very much all priced into the UK, and I guess a lot of bad news was priced into Europe as well in terms of the slow vaccination rollout from before. But I think we're seeing a shift now, and Europe is catching up, and I think you might see that play out in sterling euro as well.
Fantastic. Guys, I'm going to wrap it up now. So, from Phil and Chris and myself, just wanted to say, do keep close to the desk and your FX dealer. We're, there are lots of moving parts. It has been range bound. It's kind of market where you can easily take your eye off the ball, but certainly there's a lot simmering in the background. From myself, I hope you all get out and get some sunshine and enjoy socializing again with other people. And certainly in the case of myself, get yourself a haircut and look sharp next week. So that's a wrap from all of us. Take care.